Okay, so we started this last night with verse 8, Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. And we're thinking about this construction or this tent, really, that God told Moses to have constructed. And we're thinking about the fact that God wanted to be with people. And God still wants to be with people today. And we're going to think more tonight about how it actually ended up being made, and who was involved, and what did God tell them to do. But let's read a few verses from Exodus 25 to start with. God says in verse 8 to Moses, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Let's talk about that for a moment. I know we read it last night. I don't know if we explained really what the word sanctuary means. It really means a clean place. It's a holy place or a clean place. And I told you last night that actually the whole reason for me talking to you about this is God wants to be in your life. God wants to be with you. But notice that God only comes to a clean place. But we're not clean the way we were born. We're dirty. We have sin in our hearts. And that's why to know God in your life is impossible if you've never had your sins forgiven. God wants to be in your life. God wants to be your saviour. God wants to be your friend. God wants to be with you through life, and he wants you to be with him after life in heaven. But you can't have any of that if you're unclean, because God doesn't live in dirty places. Now maybe you say, well, you don't either. You know, we like a nice clean house. We like things to be clean and tidy. God's not talking about the dirt and the floor and the dust. That's just the result of sin being in the world in every sense, physically as well. But God's talking about there's dirt in our hearts. A heart, the Bible says, is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. In other words, we think we're all right. We trick ourselves. We kind of argue, I'm okay, my life's all right. But God says, compared to me and compared to my standards, my life's pretty mucky, really. I needed the Lord Jesus, and the fact he died for my sins on the cross, and that his death can cleanse me. And I trusted him when I was a boy. I asked him to forgive my sins, and he washed me clean, he cleansed me. And God now lives in my life. And you can know that. You can have your sins forgiven, and you can know God in your life when you come to trust the Lord Jesus. So God, right back at the beginning of time, he wanted to be with these people, and he told them to build a clean place. But then he says in verse 22, he's talking about a piece of furniture that we'll talk about later in the week. And he says in verse 22, "There I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony." So here God is saying, I'll meet with you and I'll commune. That just means I'll enjoy fellowship, friendship, company with you. Just go to the end of the chapter, and then I'll show you some of these things on the slides. Look at verse number 40. God says, this is still God talking to Moses. He took him up. Some of the boys were talking today about the place where this happened. It's the Sinai Peninsula. It's a Mount Sinai. And Moses went up the mountain, and he was up there. Well, I think he could have been up there three times for 40 days and 40 nights. That's quite interesting, because there was three periods of 40 years in his life, and you maybe could match them all up, but he had three experiences with God. And one of the times he was up there, God gave him the Ten Commandments, but he also told him what was to be done as far as making this tent, this construction. Look at verse 40. "And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount." So there's a little clue there as to just, how did Moses know what to do? God says, I've given you a blueprint, I've given you the plans, I've given you a pattern, and you've to do it the way I've said. But you can't actually do anything really in life without people. You know, even though God can do miracles, he chooses to use us to do things. You know, God asks people to work for him and serve him, even though God can do anything just by speaking a word. In fact, that's how he created the world. He spoke, and he created the world. But it's a really amazing thing that God chooses to use people to serve him. And God wants you to not only worship him and to love him, but he wants you to serve him. We're going to think about that tonight. We're going to think about who were the people involved in building this tabernacle, and what did they have to do? So there's the tabernacle again. I just kind of looking down from the top, and you can see it was quite a big construction. And those fences, well, they were actually very high, 7 or 8 feet high, those white fences around the outside. And the whole thing, it was portable, but it was quite a construction. So you say, how did Moses know exactly what to make, what he was to do? And you know, you can see just that's not the way you'd have seen it, but that's pulling back some of the covers to see just what it would have, the different layers that were involved. So Moses had a lot of detail to deal with. So I want to talk to you about the people God used in making tabernacle, but we're going to talk first of all about who designed it, who was the project manager. And we're going to think about people, because they actually had to give things to make it. Couldn't go to, you know, MFI or B&Q or whatever. You couldn't go and get it. God had to use what people had to make this tabernacle. Who were the skilled craftsmen and who operated the tabernacle? Okay, so God was the designer. And we've read about that. We've read that it was told to make it according to the pattern. Now, here's a very simple rule. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus, if you're a Christian, make sure that however you live, whatever you do, do it according to what he said in the Bible. Now, I'm not being tough when I say this, but it's not really a case of I feel like doing this in church or I feel like doing that. It's what does God say in the Bible? That's the bottom line. Because remember, the church is God's church. Christianity is God's. Everything about it is his. So we have to do what he says, because otherwise we're messing about with what he designed. And Moses, he didn't just kind of go, well, tell you what, I like your ideas, God, but I tell you, I'll make the outside walls black instead of white. And instead of using gold, I'll use something else. And that type of wood, don't fancy, I'll use another type of wood because there's more available. No, God told him every bit for a certain reason. Now, we'll not be talking about all the reasons this week, don't worry. We're not going into that type of detail. But the point is this, God said, this is the way it is. If you follow me, you'll get it right. Oh, by the way, that's the way it is in our lives. Our world's in chaos because people have ignored what God said in the Bible. You know, our society says it doesn't really matter about certain things anymore. You know, morals and families and husbands and wives and all sorts of things. Our society says that doesn't really matter. We write our own rules. And then we end up with a society that struggles, with homes that are broken, with lives that are shattered. Because if you don't follow what God says, then actually you're messing about with the design. And when you mess about with the design, you get a faulty product. And God has designed his world, and he's designed life, and he's told us how it should be so that we can live it and we can enjoy it. And when we ignore it, it becomes dangerous. Moses was told to put the thing into practice. We read about that in chapter 25. And then God says to him, it's to be made exactly the way I said. We've talked about that. So let's talk about some of the people that God used. How would you build? Let me tell you some of the stuff that was in this thing. There was solid silver, there was gold, there was a certain type of wood. It was an amazing type of wood, actually. It was very light physically, it was very strong, and it didn't actually rot very easily. He had to make stuff with materials like some people think it was seal skin, or there was goat skin, there was white linen, there was embroidery that had to be made with gold and scarlet and purple threads. There was a whole lot of things that were needed. How are they going to find that in the desert? They left Egypt. They came through the Red Sea. They're going this journey that should have... How long should it have taken them to go across? Who said that? 11 days, right? How long did it take them?
40 years,
right. And one of the reasons that they're told to build this is because it's going to be 40 years before they can get to a permanent place. So this needs to be something that is portable. And yet God wanted to be with those people. Turn to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35 verse 1 says this. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord has commanded that you should do them. And then verse 4, and Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take you from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord of gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and so on. Then come to verse 10, and every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord commanded. Now, if we write down all those verses, you'd find all the raw material, all the materials they needed to build this tent. And Moses is told to go out to all the... Now, remember I told you there's about 2 million people that are part of this nation now. And he goes to them and he's to ask for people who are willing. Because we're going to discover that if you are a Christian and a follower of the Lord Jesus, God wants you to serve him, but he only wants you to do it willingly. God doesn't press gang people to become Christians. If you're going to become a Christian this week, boys, or the girls, that'll be because you decide that you're wrong and your sins are damaging and that you need God's forgiveness and you decide to trust the Lord Jesus. And if you are a Christian and you want to serve God, William Carey, that we're talking about in the morning, we're at the stage in his life where he's not a Christian, he doesn't want to serve God. But when you become a Christian, then you will want to serve God, and if you're really keen to be a Christian who loves the Lord Jesus, then you'll want to do whatever he asks you to do. But God wants us to be willing in the way that we serve him. So Moses was asked to get the people to bring different things. Now I want you just to look in verse number 20. It says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred them up, and everyone in whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, and jewels, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. So here the people responded. See, one of the things I'm praying this week is that you will respond to what God says in his word. Now, I'm not standing at the door putting your arm up your back and saying, are you going to become a Christian? If I come along to your prayer, your quiet time, your group times, I'm not be asking you questions, why you're not a Christian. That's not the way it works. But if God, as I said to you last night, if God begins to prod and speak to you and awaken your heart to understand you need to be saved, you must respond to God. You must hear what God says. You must reply. And the best reply is to say to God, I admit you're right and I'm wrong and I need my sins forgiven. That would be a great starting point. If you are a Christian, maybe you're just living your life as a Christian so far and not doing too much with your life. Maybe you just drift along, you don't read the Bible too often, you're not too worried about how you live as a Christian. Maybe this week God will really stir up your heart to say, I want to give God, I don't just want my sins forgiven, but I want to serve him, I want to be something that God can use. God won't necessarily send you to be a missionary, he might. That's not automatic. But God's got something that every one of us can do. We can all serve him. So Moses was to speak to them, and he found out they were willing. And that was a great thing. They were willing to hear God's appeal. And they brought what they could afford. If we read down the later verses, you'll notice it says in verse number 25, and all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands, so they couldn't go to Marks and Spencer's, and they couldn't go to Primark, so they went and made stuff, and they made it by hand. And they brought what they could. And then it says, verse 27, the rulers brought precious jewels. See, the rulers were wealthy, so they brought expensive things. And the rest of the people didn't have much, so they brought what they could. And can I say to you tonight, it doesn't really matter whether you're from a good home, a wealthy home, a poor home. Whatever you are, God can use. And whatever you have in your life, God can use to serve him. And God doesn't actually expect you to use what you don't have. So don't sit back and go, I'm not talented, I'm not good, look at that person, they can do this, they can do that. You are who you are, God made you that way. If you're prepared to ask him to forgive your sins and give him your life and say you will serve him, he will use whatever you have. In fact, he may make you more talented than you ever imagined. Because God does that, you know. If God loves a willing heart, people who are ready to trust him and ready to serve him. So they brought what they could afford. But it's quite amazing actually in this story, because when you get to chapter 36, it says there, let me just read it to you, it's 36 and verses 5 to 7. All these people are bringing stuff to Moses. They haven't yet started to build this tent or the courtyard or all the furniture they had to make. But it says in verse number 5 of chapter 36, they speak unto Moses, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work. And Moses gave an instruction that they stopped bringing. Wouldn't that be amazing? If we brought to God so much that he had more than he needed, that doesn't happen very often. But those people, they were so excited and they were so ready to do what God said, and they really believed they were building something where God could be with people. Is that like blinded you? And they brought more than enough. And you know, if we bring... Sorry, I'll stand here. They brought whatever they could and God was going to use it. And if you bring what you've got, it'll never be too much, mind you. But God will use whatever you bring. Okay, as we draw to our conclusion, you can imagine that some of the stuff that had to be made, we've not really looked at it so far, but there was stuff that was made out of gold, there was stuff from wood covered in gold, there was embroidery, there was a whole lot of skill. How did they have those skills? Well, the Bible tells us about a couple of men that God called, and God was going to skill them, he was going to give them the skill and the ability to do the work that he called them to. In chapter 36, it says this, then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary. Now here's an amazing fact, that God had men that he gave skill to, and he had women that were doing some of the other stuff, but this is really just the bit that he's talking about the men here, and God equipped them so that they could serve him. See, if you're going to follow the Lord Jesus, God will ask you to do things with your life, but he won't ask you to do something and then not give you the skill to do it. He will give you the ability to serve him. And actually, every Christian is given a different, well, we may all some have the same ability, but we've all got a distinct ability and opportunity to serve God. I've said it already, but I'll come back to it. We are all individuals. God loves us individually. The Lord Jesus died for us individually, and he wants us to serve him. And he has equipped every one of us to serve him in different ways. And he wants us to serve him. And if we're willing, we'll discover how he has equipped us. Some of you are, we're going to say getting on. You're not getting on, but you're getting to the age where really you should be thinking about what can I do to serve God. Don't sit there and say, you know, look at all those guys. They can do all that work. And those girls, they can do it. You think, what can I do? How can I get involved? How can I serve God? Because God has a work for everybody to do for him. And he's got skill that he's given to you to serve him in a way. So God called these people to serve him, and he equipped them. And it says they were wise. See, they were wise in their heart. They're prepared to trust God, prepared to obey God. And they're prepared to do what God had guided them to do. Now the rest of it, and we're not dealing with tonight, there was three families that God called to really operate this tabernacle. I'll show you their names there. These three guys, Gershon, Merari and Kohath. And again, those of you that are a bit older, if you go and read on in Exodus, you'll find that each of them had something special that they had to do when it came to building and then dismantling and transporting that tabernacle. So what are our lessons for tonight? Well, the same one you're going to get every night. God wants you. What are we going to say?
God wants I'm going to say it.
No, you did say the right thing. God loves you, and God wants you to trust him, and he wants you to follow him. But he also wants you to serve him. And he wants you to be willing. And he wants you to use what you've got. And he will equip you to serve him. And he wants you to take seriously your Christian life so that you decide, I want to live my life for God. I want to serve him. And I want to find out what's the way that he has equipped me and the work that he's opened up for me to do with my life. Now, can I just say at this stage, in your quiet times, I'm happy to come along. I went into one group this morning. I'm happy to come along to any quiet, I don't even call them, do you call them quiet times or just groups or whatever? Your dogs. I'm happy to come along if you would like, but if your leaders then just say to me if you want me to come, then I will do. As long as you don't throw things at me, I don't mind questions, but I cope with these boys, so I suppose I can cope with anybody, because boy, they were tough. Okay, thanks very much. Yeah.